And I suppose he didn't make it all tape.
Huh?
He didn't make it all.
I don't know.
You know, I was just thinking when going to the concentration, when you were, when you and Zemi came out, you know, I remember that in Frankfurt, because I remember that you and Zemi had your heads, were bald as jaybirds.
Right.
And I remember being there with Booby and seeing you all came coming in. I didn't know what had happened to Oma, though. I didn't remember. See, I was in Frankfurt when they came out, because they'd taken me there, and I remember that very well. But I didn't remember what Mother... And you stayed the whole time by yourself in Magdeburg.
Right.
So were you going up to the Gestapo to find out what was happening to Opa? Is that what you mean every day?
No, not with him. I knew that he was in the concentration camp, but I kept on working with the papers, you know, kept on working on them, you know. They came every day and went through the apartment, Johnny, everything, even the clue was destroyed.
Who came daily?
All the Nazis and the people in the morning when everything was destroyed, big. You know, all the people came and looked at the destruction of the temple and of our, and they left. They cut the mattresses all up in pieces. There was not one thing left. The things we have.
They were so destructive. They were so destructive that you must remember that night.
Well, I remember the night, but I didn't remember after that 17 days worth.
My parents took a lot of our stuff along and they left for America. What we have, my parents took along. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had
it. What year did they came out? It was 36, wasn't it?
I don't remember that.
What?
Maybe. I don't remember. But we never thought, you know, it would happen. So we kept all that stuff. We had very valuable things from Opa's home, from the antique shop. You know,
but
we had very many valuable things in the glass vitrine. You know, everything was still there. But there was not one thing there left. Everything was cut up. Even the toilet. You couldn't use the toilet. Nothing was there. And it was open.
The pictures on the wall, they hit with pickaxes, we called it Herrenzimmer, our den room where we all lived, had tables. You know, we had the wonderful quality furniture, and they couldn't destroy it, so they hit with a pickaxe at least a big hole in the center of the tabletop. Yes? In order to destroy it.
There were 250 men who came that night. They stood in front of us.
You know, they...
Well, my recollection of that is having them go upstairs, and I remember them putting all the books in the... standing outside and watching them make a bonfire of the things out of the temple, and there was an explosion. I mean, they blew up.
Right. Inside
the temple. They couldn't burn the temple. Like they burned both other temples, because the temple was in the middle of a block. If they had burned the temple, then that whole block would have gone up in flames. So they dynamited the inside of the temple. And the next morning they brought all the Torah scrolls out and burnt them in the middle of the courtyard. But I was not there anymore. I was already left early in the morning.
But didn't they have a fire out in the yard?
And in my head,
yeah,
I said, how can God, I remember that, you know, and I said,
but they overlooked,
this, you know?
They overlooked two Torah scrolls, little ones, which by the explosion had been blown into a corner of the holy ark, yes. And when I came back, you know, I had the keys for everything. I went in there, I looked around, and I found two Torah scrolls. And I wanted to give, you know, the very little one I kept, and I could wrap it up in our underwear and had it in my suitcase when we left Germany. The bigger one, I offered Rabbiner Dr. Wilde, take a Torah from his synagogue. I came to him while they were loading his van. And the man answered me, ich weiß doch nicht, ob man sich damit burden soll. I don't know if you should burden yourself with something like that. because it could be stopped at the border or something like that, yes. The rabbis, they were all taken out of Germany by a special committee in England to save the rabbis.
So he went to England.
You know,
my
that,
daddy took the train and then
Dr. Beck in Dr. Beck in Berlin refused to leave at all and went with a last transport from Berlin to Theresienstadt. The rabbi, Dr. Leo Beck, refused to go. But Rabbi Wilde, I mean, there was nothing for him to do but to leave. Yes. But he didn't know if he should burden himself with the Torah.
But you took it and you brought it to a friend to Halberstadt.
I wrote a postal card to my friend Lundner, Jakob Lundner, who was a high school teacher in Halberstadt, in an Orthodox congregation. And I told him I was ready to leave, but I had a valuable old book, and I couldn't take it along because I had only a restricted number of books that I could take along. Your mother had an arrangement with the Gestapo, which books could be loaded.
You could take 10 books. We had about 800. Daddy had a library.
And so Jakob Lundner came over and picked the Torah up and we rolled it up in brown craft paper as if he had a ball of cloth under his arm, yes. And he took it along. I'm pretty sure that he brought it over. But anyway, that's the way, the miracle that we came to America. And the second miracle is that here the Mayas are the Buttenwiesers.
And we're all related in the end.
Yeah.
Who was the commandant of the camp? Was that a Dutch camp?
A Dutch Army Reserve officer who was assigned as, we called him commandant, he was the administrator.
We all had to work, so women were, you know, in shifts, they had to cook and clean up, everything was, you know.
I mean, it's an amazing thing that the Dutch took this whole thing on.
We were legal emigrants because Herman, our brother-in-law Herman, was able to secure for us the green card. If you had the green card, you had no trouble at the border, and your green card was stamped Doorgelaten. Doorgelaten means may pass.
Because he was a Dutch citizen.
Yes.
Green card. And the other, but thousands went over the border secretly at night. They paid fortunes to Dutch people who came over and showed them the secret ways how they could go through the border without being detected by the border guards. And they were brought into camps, that was not very much better than a concentration camp. They were at least out of Germany. There was no accommodation. Yes, and all stables and so on, they put them up. But we were at least the Dutch. As legal people, we were treated as decent as they could. The only thing, nobody could live outside the camp after they came at a certain date, because if the Dutch would have opened their borders for the Jews, we would have swarmed the country with lit as being peddlers and doing all kind of business just to maintain themselves, and they had to protect their own economy. Yes, but as far as their treatment of the legal immigrants, they provided for food and so on, and for entertainment, and for all kind of things taken care of. Health services, everything was there. The Dutch were great.